Merry Christmas, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Jim. So I begin with a confession this morning. Are you ready to hear my confession? Ready or not, here it comes. It's a bit embarrassing, I must say, but they say that confession is good for the soul. So here goes. Somewhere since about early October, I have formed a bit of an obsession. It might even be an addiction at this point, I'm not sure. My obsession addiction is to Hallmark movies. Now I know it's pretty pathetic. My man card may be removed after sharing this message with you. It's not something I ever thought that I would say. And to be honest, I had never even seen a Hallmark movie until this year. But over the past 3 months, it has become almost a daily ritual. It's funny, the acting is really bad, and the plot is always predictable, and the dialogue can be super cheesy. But all that being said, what I really need these days is comfort. I need comfort, and I need a little predictability. I need to know that the story, no matter where it goes, is going to end well. I don't need any more politics. I don't need any more COVID updates. I don't need any more stories designed to depress me. I need a little Hallmark. I need a place where it's always Christmas, where there's always snow on the ground, where the togetherness is the word to live by, where the horrors of the world reliably subside amid the flurries of a beautiful snowstorm. I need to know that even if I can't yet see it, that joy is just around the corner. And I'm pretty sure you do too. So we turn to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Now, when the book opens, what you need to realize is that heaven has been silent for roughly 400 years. Ever since the days of the prophet Malachi in 420 BC, there has been no word, no movement, no angels, no visions, no dreams, no proclamations, no nothing. God's existence was just a rumor. For years on end, there was nothing but silence. Generations of people had been watching and waiting and hoping on an ancient promise that had been given them by their ancestors. They were looking for a rescuer, a savior, a messiah. They were looking for a good Hallmark movie to come and make all things right. So when Matthew tells us how and when this breakthrough finally occurs, he actually begins with the 42-generation genealogy that we will not be reading through today. You're welcome. But if you're having problems with insomnia, I highly recommend that sometime later tonight you go back to the Gospel of Matthew and meditate on the first 17 verses. But for now, all you need to know is that there have been 42 generations of unmet hopes and dreams and deep frustration until Jesus is born. Now, when Matthew tells us the story, he does so through the eyes of a man named Joseph. This man would be tasked with raising the Son of God. But in the entire drama that Matthew tells, Joseph actually has no lines, nothing. He never says a recorded word. So we have to use our imaginations just a little bit to get a feel for what is happening with him when he gets the news that his fiancée is pregnant and he knows that he's not the father. Now, when he gets this news, he's not with Mary. So the question you ask yourself as you're reading this text is, how did he get the news? Certainly not email. Mary didn't text him. No Facebook posts, no Instagram. We have to use our imaginations. And so I'm going to imagine with you that he received the news by way of snail mail. So let's just say that Mary wrote him a letter. We don't know it to be true. It's probably not. But for the sake of our time together, we're going to pretend that Mary sent Joseph a letter. Maybe the letter went something like this. Dear Jojo. Maybe not. Dear Joseph, I hope this letter finds you well. I'm still with my cousin Elizabeth, and we are having a really good time. I can't wait to see you. We have so much to catch up on. But something I probably should tell you before I see you is that, well, I'm pregnant. But don't worry, I've not been unfaithful. You see, it's a miracle baby from God. An angel told me so. Anyway, I can't wait to see you. Hugs and kisses, Mary. We don't know how he heard the news, but I'm pretty sure he didn't think it was funny. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't believe Mary's explanation, because if he did, he wouldn't be drawing up divorce papers. But that's exactly what he does when he hears the news. You see, in Joseph's day and time, to be engaged was to be married. The only thing a couple could not do during their 1 year period of engagement was to live together or to consummate their union. Other than that, they were legally husband and wife. And so when a wife was found to have committed adultery, both the Jewish and the Roman law required that the husband divorce her, which he could do in one of two ways. The first way was that he could hold a public trial and let everyone in town see the evidence of her adultery. Of course, that would mean that she would be openly and publicly humiliated. Option number two is he could divorce her privately with a meeting between he and his wife, Mary, in this case, and just two other witnesses. By doing so, Mary would have been spared the public humiliation. However, Joseph's integrity may well be called into question if he took option number two. According to the law, he had to divorce her, lest he violate the law and bring enduring reproach on his household. But because Joseph is righteous and not a self-righteous man, he chooses option number two. Instead of shaming Mary publicly, he handles things privately. Joseph is a good dude, but that doesn't change the fact that he's crushed. He's absolutely heartbroken. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born, right smack dab in the middle of a mess. But as the scandal swirls, what you may well miss is that joy has also arrived. It's just that Joseph can't yet see it. And that's the end of scene number one. But then scene number two opens with Joseph getting touched by an angel. Now remember, heaven has been shut up for 400 years. Joseph wouldn't even know that angels existed, much less plan on getting a visit from one. And so the angel arrives and tells him, "Listen, I know this is going to seem like a stretch, but I need you to tear up the divorce papers that you had already begun. And I need you to understand this very important and very simple fact. Mary is not lying to you. Her baby, your baby, is indeed a miracle baby. It wasn't conceived by your neighbor Earl. It was conceived by God. And what right now appears to be packaged with deep disappointment, it actually really is your destiny. You can't yet see it, but believe me, when you do, it's going to bring you and so many others for untold generations to come such exceeding joy. Listen, I know you had great expectations about how your life was going to play out. But you need to understand at this point, God had something else in mind. God had something bigger for you that he wants you to be a part of, bigger than your plans, bigger even than your reputation. And I'm not going to lie to you. This path I'm asking you to travel on, it's going to be exceedingly hard. But if you can accept what I'm giving you, I promise you that joy is just around the corner. So I need you to put on your big boy pants, and I need you to do two things. You ready? You sure? First, I need you to marry Mary. This is going to be super difficult for you. There's going to be a lot of innuendo. There's going to be a lot of rumor. There are going to be people in town who are saying nasty things about you. Your feelings are going to be hurt almost every day. And you know the stuff that they're saying isn't true, but there's no real way that you're going to be able to prove it. I still need you, under the possibility that you're going to bring reproach on your entire family, I need you to go through with the plans to marry Mary. And second, I need you to name the baby Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Two things, marry Mary and name the baby. Can you do that? You can do that. The greatest hope and joy that the world has ever known came through the greatest disappointment Joseph would ever experience. And in doing so, this is what we learn. Sometimes joy gets packaged in pretty strange ways. And I wonder if maybe that might not be what's happening in your life today. What if in the middle of all that we've endured this year, in the middle of every single disappointment, every frustration, all of our sickness and our isolation, even our loss, our deep, deep losses, and all of the pain that goes with it? What if in the middle of one of the worst years of our collective lives, God is actually wanting to give birth to something new in us and then through us? There has never been, nor will there ever be, a scenario where a precious miracle is born without also being accompanied by intense labor pains. But, and this is the good news, the labor pains don't last forever. Sometimes they feel like they're going to, but they don't. Eventually, if you push through the pain, joy is just around the corner. The truth be told, none of us are entitled to a single day or a single thing in this life. Life is a gift. And when we partner with the giver and embrace the opportunity, and yes, push through our pain, joy is an inevitable fruit, even if we can't yet see it. Let's pray. Lord, most days when I wake up and it feels like Groundhog Day, I pause for a moment and I ask you to help give me enough faith to believe that you are at work in ways that I cannot yet see, and to trust you that even if it's painful, that you are mightily at work, birthing something miraculous in and through our lives. that our world will be better on the other side of our labor pains. And so I ask you this morning to speak to each of us in whatever location we may be listening. And I ask that you would help us to personalize the story that Matthew gives us of Joseph. And I ask that you would help us to believe great things, even when we can't see them, and to trust today that if we can hang on long enough, that joy is just around the corner. May we partner with you in something great these days. May our life's actions encourage and spur others on. May we be a part of what you are doing so that those who come behind us and read our stories will be inspired and challenged and encouraged by them as they live their own story. In Christ we pray. Amen.